welcome to Minute 22 of The Great Escape Minute, the daily podcast where we dig into The Great Escape 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob.
I'm Tom.
And joining us today once again is Tierney Steele of the American Graffiti One Song at a Time podcast, along with many other minute-by-minute podcasts.
There's no escaping me. Yes, I'm older and wiser today, so.
Let's hope. So, episode 22 starts with Hiltz finishing his sentence by saying, "Before the war is over," and it goes till you have two soldiers being accompanied by Stronach to the gate of what we presume is the cooler. Yeah, so this is a direct, obviously, continuation of the scene that we discussed yesterday, where Hiltz and von Luger were trying to show one another who was actually in charge.
Hiltz, the answer is Ives.
And Hiltz basically says, you know, the war's not over yet, and I plan on seeing Berlin both from the ground and air before the war is over.
I have a question about that. Yeah, why would a flyboy want to see Berlin from the ground before the war's over? I mean, it makes for a dramatic line.
Because he knows he's going to steal a motorcycle at some point. The biggest question that people have to ask is does Steve McQueen, or does Hiltz, or does the man presuming that we named Hiltz prefer an airplane or prefer a motorcycle? Because we never see him in an airplane in this movie.
Yeah.
It's not like he ran to an airfield to take a plane like some other characters did. Mm-hmm. What he did was he took the ground route.
You're right. Maybe this pilot thing is a lie.
It's very possible. But maybe his plan was, okay, he's going to steal a motorcycle, get all the way to Berlin, and then steal a plane in Berlin to show how much he really despises them and is able to do whatever he wants. Who knows?
I'm choking back quoting Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade at you.
We have to get to
Berlin when they're on the motorcycle. That's with Sean Connery in the little sidecar. That's what we need. But 1963 Sean Connery, so that it's extra weird.
Oh,
exactly.
It's great that Tierney brought this up, because that actually ties, Sean Connery ties directly into my next note. Oh. So we get Ives doing the, you know, gets asked, what's your name? He's Ives, Flight Officer Ives. Did he pull that from Dr. No, which came out the year before this?
No, he pulled it from the last minute where Hiltz says Hiltz, Captain Hiltz. So Ives is just saying who he is. You know, he's trying to show he's trying to strut his stuff too by saying, I'm not just the lowly prisoner here. I'm a flying officer. I mean, I'm not really sure
what that means.
I was just about to ask that question. I mean, he's an OF1. In the Royal Air Force, that's his. I think it's
an
pretty much the
who
lowest
flies one.
No, it's the lowest ranking officer.
Okay,
I guess you can call it maybe a first lieutenant, you know, or second lieutenant, because first lieutenant is higher than second lieutenant.
Yes.
So it could be. You never know. That was my interpretation of his line. It wasn't trying to imitate James Bond. It could be.
Yeah. Well, no, but I thought about that. And I'm like,
nice try.
This movie is missing Sean Connery. I feel like Sean Connery would be an interesting addition to this movie.
At that point, they couldn't have gotten him.
They probably couldn't.
No. All right. Here's what you do. Sean Connery is Ives' older brother. And in the post-credit sting, you set up the sequel where Sean Connery is going to go after the people who killed his brother in the POW camp.
Mm.
There you go.
You got it. I like it. But now, does he do this James Bond?
Well, no, what we need to do then, if we're going to have Sean Connery going out for revenge, he's got to team up with Christopher Lee to do it.
I mean, Christopher Lee is always down to kill Nazis, so.
Exactly.
There we go. Yeah, I love the back and forth in this. I mean, clearly Hiltz wins the sass off, but the biting off of words that von Luger does in this minute is very well done, very effective. Like, he tries to get in one last dig, like, oh, are all Americans as ill-mannered as you? And then when it backfires on him, he's like, well, I'm done with this conversation. You're going to get at most two syllables out of me at a time for the rest of our interactions.
Right. Well, he says, maybe you should learn some manners. Did either of you notice that? Who's that that's next? I think it's Strachnik that's right next to him. Do you notice he's got something sticking out of his coat? It looks like a wallet.
Oh.
I think it's
billfold.
No, I think what it is it's the, because we see it earlier when I've
it's
come,
the pictures of everybody.
Yeah, it's everyone's little dossier.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but that's an interesting place to put it. You know, I would never think to place something in my jacket like that, especially something so important as the dossiers of all of the prisoners in the camp, which it doesn't look like it. I mean, there were 600 prisoners in the camp, so
some liberties were taken.
apparently.
It's not like dress uniforms are known for their pockets, though, so you got to find somewhere to put it.
It's true. It's very true.
Yeah. Well, I if you would like to dunk on Americans, Rob, this is your minute.
Why would I dunk on Americans? I'm an American.
Well,
I live on foreign soil, but that doesn't mean I'm not an American.
Okay.
Born and bred.
You haven't gone local and be like, ugh, they're so obnoxious.
No, not at all. I'm American through and through from that perspective. No question about that. If anything, you know, I love the way that Hiltz responds here to everything.
It's so good.
You know, and just the to see the way that he responds to everything. You know, like he says, okay, 10 days of isolation. And 10 days is a long time, but it's theoretically not a long time. And then he's like, what, are you kidding me? What's 10 days? 10 days is nothing. I can do 10 days easily. And he says, and he shows his bars, you know, captain. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So I'll give you 20 days. I love his response at that point. He's like, you're still going to be here when I get out, right?
It's so good. And especially, like, not spoilers, but, like, ladies and gentlemen, remember this line for later in the movie.
Exactly. Well, Van Luker lasts a little longer than 20 days. Yeah. That we know.
So, where does isolation occur? Because if he had not, like, clearly cooler is the escalation.
No, cooler is the isolation. It's isolation in the cooler.
That's what I thought, but then the way he, because it's 10 days isolation, 20 days, and then he goes, cooler. As if
no,
that,
he says,
like,
it's just take him, no, it's take him to the cooler now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Cooler.
Yeah.
He doesn't even say cooler, it's cooler.
Yeah, he's the Kool-Aid man of this POW camp.
Exactly. Cooler.
Okay, good. That was one thing that, like, really was like, okay, I don't remember this, but all right. So they have their little standoff, and then
And you see how pissed off the Germans are at the end of the standoff. There's no question. And he just walks. He goes. And you can see the way that all of the, you know, the extras that are standing around, they're all like, they all look in awe. Now, the question is, are they looking in awe at Steve McQueen? Are they looking in awe at the man presumably Hiltz? Yeah.
Why not both?
It could be. I mean, there was a minute a few weeks ago where there was someone who was just staring at Steve McQueen's character. And the whole question was, is this an extra who is staring at Steve McQueen, or is he looking out into the distance beyond? He's seeing through him. So I think that's very funny. And the shot when he's walking away from, and he basically goes by himself. He doesn't even wait for the Germans to escort him out. He's like, all right, I'm going to go do this. This is going to be easy time for me. Yeah. Like in Shawshank, you know, when Tim Robbins says, yeah, that was the easiest time I ever had because I had the music with me. And they're like, ooh, they let you take the record player with you?
That's why he's the cooler king.
That's right. No question about it. And the shot is great because you see him walking the direction of the cooler. He sees the cooler. I mean, he knows where it is. And he's like, I'll just, you know, I'm going to make myself at home there.
This is my home now.
Yeah, I mean, a few weeks ago when he and Goff were talking about it, you know, they both mentioned the fact that the cooler is really big. So I wonder, I mean, here you have a cooler with, I think it's, was it 4 windows or 3.5 windows? Mm. So I wonder how small the coolers were in other camps that they were in. You know, did they only have room for one there as opposed to it being a triple occupancy? Actually, that reminds me. Did you want to ask that, Tom?
Oh, no, I was going to mention something else.
Go ahead. Okay. So we had a guest on a few weeks ago that was curious about Goff. You know, the third American, the lowest ranking American there, let's put it that way, or the one who doesn't have as much to do as the others. And someone said that, and someone asked us if we believe that he would be a perfect MASH character. And I was like, oh, Trini's going to be on in a few weeks. We'll ask her. Yeah, do you remember who Goff is?
Let's face it. All these guys can hang out at the 4077. They'll fit right in. James Garner might not enjoy his time there, but he could still show up.
I actually would think that many of the Brits wouldn't have as much fun in the 4077. The Americans would. The three Americans would. Yeah. But I'm not sure about the Brits.
That's true. I'm trying to think of the specifically British.
Goff is American, so that would.
Yeah, he's all set. I know. Hawkeye goes off about the Brits giving wounded soldiers tea and that messing up their, so that they're, then when he goes to do surgery, there's like food in their digestive system. And he's like, there's tea everywhere. This is ridiculous. Tell them to stop doing that at the aid station. And the British, you know, highest ranking, the Ramsay of that unit is just like, no, my men need this like for morale purposes.
Wait, the Brits fought in Korea also?
It was a whole UN thing.
Okay, yeah. I didn't remember that.
Literally, all these guys could be there.
Right. No, but they weren't in Vietnam, though.
No.
Right. That's because MASH.
That's just French and American. Well,
right, but the French were all gone by the time the Americans pretty much came because they got wiped out. I've seen We Were Soldiers.
But yeah, these guys, it all fits in. And, you know, that's one of the things that this movie has that MASH, the movie and the show doesn't, of I love the variety of uniforms in this movie. And it's because you're at a POW camp and it's mixed nationalities and backgrounds, but like everyone, you know, it's like
hodgepodge, hodgepodge.
Yeah. Like there is a uniform. It's all within this bit, but everyone went and got to pick like, oh, I like this kind of sweater. No, I want this kind of jacket. And it's just, well, especially when Ives is walking over to join them, you get a really nice pan across and it's just like, I love this. No one is dressed exactly the same the whole time.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I actually saw a website that talks about all the different costumes that these characters have. And most of them are actually pretty authentic. And they're just mixed matches of various uniforms. There's a few that are a little anachronistic. You know, that it was, there were uniforms that were used a few years later. But, big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom, you were starting to say, right, that's true. Well, because he's the American. He's the hotshot pilot, you know. Actually, his jacket looks like Maverick's jacket.
Yeah. You mean wow. Maverick's jacket looks like his jacket.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out why his insignia, he's wearing it under his collar, though. Because he does the flip-up captain.
Yeah, I wondered if it was like a practical, like you don't want it reflecting light if you're like escaping through, you know, if you have to parachute into Germany and eject and you don't want shiny bits of metal for them to look for. But I mean, within the realm of the movie, that makes no sense because they're all doing whatever. But I wonder if it was one of those things like, oh, pilots would wear their bars underneath the flat, like something like that. That they picked up, because that was one of the crazy things reading the behind the scenes on this movie is how many of these people like were POWs themselves in various situations. So yes. Like everyone, everyone served, it seemed like. Like, everyone had some sort of service. And then you had Germans who were POWs in different places, and Americans and Brits who were POWs in different theaters of war. And so that feels like a little detail that someone was like, oh, yeah, a real hotshot pilot would have his bars underneath, or, you know, something like that.
Oh, and my first thought was Steve McQueen thought putting the bars on the outside ruined the look of his jacket.
I mean, like I said,
that's possible.
In the context of making the movie, I'm sure that was a bigger consideration.
Right. I actually remember hearing, I'm trying to remember where I heard this, that a number of the German actors were POWs, and they were trying to give John Sergis input on things, and he just like brushed them off and didn't want to hear about it and everything. And then he found out one day that Donald Pleasence was also a POW, and he's like, oh, now I want to actually hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so, Tom, there was something else you wanted to say before when I cut you off when we were talking about it. We went on the tangent about MASH.
Yes. One of them can wait till tomorrow because that's about the size of the cooler. The other thing I feel like this movie is missing, and maybe it's because I just love that scene in Cool Hand Luke, is we need some German giving a Night in the Box speech.
I mean, I don't get bored watching this movie. I've seen it so many times, even though it's almost 3 hours. You know, I have no problem watching it over and over. Just like, you know, Tierney, I remember I was listening months and months ago to you talking about The Best Years of Our Lives, which is also one of my favorite movies. And that's another one I can just watch over and over. You know, it never gets boring watching these movies because they're just so much fun the whole way through, at least my opinion. I know a lot of people will have differing opinions, but you know, that's their problem.
I do wonder if you guys are going to have to battle with, the Best Years of Our Lives podcast is called The Best Minutes, and you guys are The Great Minute. So, like, come on, rumble in the, like, we got to do something there. The best versus the great? Come on. This has potential.
Nah, I wouldn't do that. We're all friends on the Movies by Minute community. We're not trying to start any wars here, you know. Especially not World War II.
Okay.
War III.
Yeah.
Nice try. Yeah, you just go and fight with Richard Dreyfuss, you know.
There we go.
In all of your Richard
Dreyfuss
movies. I can't
get away from that guy.
Apparently.
I did a podcast on Close Encounters. I do a podcast on American Graffiti. And then I come on here and the first like trivia that pops up is Steve McQueen turned down the role of Roy Beery. I'm like, yes, I am aware. Even when I guessed, I can't get away.
Yeah, but you brought that up, not us.
Well, in my defense, the internet brought it up first. But yeah.
And I love the fact that Ives automatically gets 20 days. You know, he doesn't even have to fight for it.
Yeah. That seemed a little rough, but whatever. He doesn't seem to mind. And yeah, I'm definitely going to talk about Ives more tomorrow because I think Angus Lenny is just killing it in this scene.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And Ives' response to the whole 20 days in the cooler is pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he gets a big clap on the back from McDonald's, you know. Again, I love the camaraderie in this film. They really show that all of these characters, you know, in some ways, it makes you wonder if they really want to escape because they're having so much fun with all their friends.
What was it? 2 weeks ago, we were talking about how this is really a summer camp movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, well, it's because the reason we discuss that is because, you know, you have Goff running around saying, oh, I'm going to go see who else we can find. I was like, hello, you're in a prison camp. And he's like, the two guys that were in bunk, I think 14, I think that's what he said, two guys in bunk 14 aren't here. No. You know, but I'm looking for people that we know. I'm like, hello, you don't want to see people you know. You want to be happy knowing that the people you know somehow found a way to escape. And get out of there.
They're very excited getting set up and picking their beds out.
Exactly. Did you guys notice the two soldiers walking behind Strelkowitz when he's going to talk to Ives?
They were there. I feel like there's more to it, though.
A little bit more to it. One of them is short and stocky. You know, like he doesn't look like a normal. You know, we had this thing a few weeks ago where there was a really short SS guard at some point, and you know, we kept bringing up the Star Wars line of, you know, aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper? Literally. And this guy just looks that way. Did you see what I'm talking about now?
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
He just doesn't fit in with everybody else. Everyone else is tall and lanky, and you get this one short, stocky guy. Yep. So it's just funny just looking at the choices that they made there. So do either of you have anything else for this minute?
I do not.
Good.
All right. So, Turney, why don't you tell everyone where they can find you, even though we've already mentioned it.
That's all right. You can find me all over the Movies by Minutes community. And if you look up One Steel Sister on Instagram or Twitter, I usually retweet like when I'm on a show or if things are coming up. And if you would never get sick of podcasts, dear listener. I know you're too cool for that. But if you were and you wanted to read instead, I have just published my first book. When this has come out, and it is inspired by American Graffiti. So when I say I cannot escape this year, I really mean it. I even wrote a book. So yes, if you go to onesteelsister.com, there should be a link there to find it.
Ooh, what's the name of the book? Or you want to keep that a secret at this point?
Let's keep that a secret at this point. I'm not being coy. I have the title I want, but it requires getting permission. And that has been submitted and not replied yet. So it's like, oh, well, I don't want to tell you the title and then have it turn out I couldn't name the book that.
Okay. And, that makes sense. It's, you'll say it's, you're calling it George Lucas's. You have to get permission from Lucasfilm.
There we go.
All right. Well, besides that, if anyone wants to get in touch with us, you can contact us at thegreatminute@gmail.com. Our Facebook group is The Kula, as we say here.
Like that.
We should actually respell it. We should spell it that way. So it's, you know, C-O-O-L-L-A-R, Kula.
No, I'm not willing to do that.
A-H, A-H, A-H.
No one will ever find our group.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's very true. All right, so we'll keep it at the Facebook group is The Cooler. Our website is thegreatescapeminute.com, and you can reach us on Twitter, Great Escape MXM. Till tomorrow, tally-ho.
Tally-ho.
Tally-ho.